Massachusetts' human trafficking law, less than 2 years old, is described as comprehensive because it mandated the establishment of a joint trafficking task force, which brings advocates for victims, prosecutors, academics, and cops into the same room under the same roof, with the goal of making life difficult for pimps and their ilk. The law gave the state's top law enforcement official broader statutory tools to prosecute modern slavers. Here's Attorney General Martha Coakley in 2011.
This statute gives us enforcement tools to look at providing the appropriate programs and services for young people, particularly pulled into the life, and will help us educate the public on what we need to do to make sure that we stop human trafficking. We need to address how we fund the kinds of services and programs for victims to prevent this, and more importantly, to get them back out of the life once they've been pulled in.
On November 21, 2011, Governor Deval Patrick's signature transformed a comprehensive human trafficking bill into law. Massachusetts was one of the last of three states to do so. But since it went into effect, officials here have wasted no time in targeting offenders. Attorney General Martha Coakley has prosecuted several major trafficking cases, including the owners of a nondescript massage parlor in Wellesley that was raided in October.
Wenji Dong, please.
Wenji Dong was one of three people put on trial in connection with operation of the Sun Spa. During a court session, an assistant attorney general says they were able to get the defendant to detail what was happening behind closed doors at the former massage studio off Route 9.
She did tell law enforcement during that interview that she knew that also what are known as happy ending massages was being offered at that location.
In recent months, the AG's office has used money laundering laws, among others, to take apart another key human trafficking network spanning multiple communities in Massachusetts, including Bedford, Billerica, Medford, Reading, Wilmington, and Woburn. As WGBH has reported previously and confirmed by the AG's office, many of the victims of these networks are being transported from New York after arriving from China and other parts of East Asia. Their services are advertised via the internet. Massachusetts' prosecution of human trafficking cases, beginning in 2012, catapulted it in state rankings from worst to among the most improved, according to the Polaris Project, a national group that monitors and assists victims of this crime. The state is now listed in the top one tier according to this year's rankings. Rhode Island is named as a second-tier state, owing largely to a lack of resources, while New Hampshire is listed as a third-tier state in combating human trafficking, a designation for states that have made little headway in passing laws or enforcing them. Even with a one-tier designation, Massachusetts Human Trafficking Network Task Force says much more must be done to assist prostituted victims and those forced to work in kitchens, industry, or in homes under conditions that amount to involuntary servitude. Here are some of the new recommendations to the state. Establish a human trafficking survivor safe house to provide long-term housing to victims seeking to leave the life. Increase the capacity of existing victim service programs. Set up a first offender John school for men arrested for buying sex, and launch a public awareness campaign similar to successful models in Washington State, for example. It's not clear how many people in Massachusetts and New England-wide states are victims of human trafficking, and officials concede that making that determination is difficult. What they know is this: in raid after raid on area hotel and motel rooms, massage parlors, overcrowded housing, and sordid apartment complexes, police have rescued dozens of individuals who have been forced into the life. And task force member Sherry Jimenez argues that poverty and growing inequality is feeding human trafficking.
Here's a kid who comes out, has no job, viable, you know, probably dropped out of school, mostly been in residential programs. So what are they going to do? How are they going to survive in this economy? What are they going to do? Go out and rent an apartment for a market rate apartment that's probably $1,000 or $1,500? And how are they going to do? How are they going to support that? You have young people who fell through the cracks. You have different foreign nationals too that get caught up in different things. It's about poverty. It's about inequality, exclusion. The answer here is to put the resources into places that work, though, that so women and young women especially have a way out so that they have a better life, safer life.
Yet another factor that is being addressed by the state's interagency human trafficking task force. Philip Martin, WGBH Boston Public Radio.